job. Thank you, Eddie and Tracy, for sharing your gift of music with us. We were blessed. If you have a copy of God's Word, I want to invite you to take it and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And this morning, I want to talk to you about where you stand in Christ. Let's join our hearts together in prayer, and then we're going to look to God's Word and see what He would have to say to us today. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for being here. Lord, thank you for the way that you're going to move in this worship service. God, the way you already have. We thank you for the time of worship that we've already had with you. And Lord, we just look forward to opening your Word and hearing you, Holy Spirit of God, speak to our hearts. We thank you for the Morgans who joined our fellowship in the early service. And Father, we look for decisions to take place in this hour that would honor you and bring you glory. And we pray all this in your name. And if you agree with that prayer, would you say, amen. Amen. Where do you stand? Where do you stand this morning? You know, where you stand makes a big difference. The last time my family and I were able to go to Providence Canyon, we don't go there every year, we've been there a few times, but go to Georgia and Providence Canyon, something just scared me to death. It really did. We were having a great time and walking the trails and walking through the canyon, and we even had our dog with us, and he was having a great time getting in the water. And but as I looked up at one of the roundabouts, something just scared me to death. I looked up and I saw a little girl. I thought she was all by herself. She was at the end of the roundabout. She was hanging over a fragile wooden rail. Some of it was already on the ground. And I was thinking, I need to do something. I can't get there quick enough. And as I began to call out to that little girl, or I was thinking about calling out to her, I saw her mother scream her name and run to her. But I couldn't help but to think that day, what if Mom wouldn't have been there? What if all those who were watching her, and there were several people, including ourselves, watching her, what if she would have fallen? Man, I would have had to live with that for the rest of my life, because I didn't say, little girl, back up, you're in danger, you're going to fall over, back away. You're standing in a dangerous place. Where are you standing today? Not physically, but spiritually. Where are you standing with the Lord Jesus Christ? Some today would say, I'm standing firm. Firm as I ever have before, and nothing can knock me down. Paul said to take heed. He says, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Some of you may think that you're just standing as strong as you can, but today, if you'd be honest with yourself, you're very vulnerable. Then others today would just say, I know I'm not standing where I need to be standing. I look good on the outside, but I know that I'm not where I need to be standing in my walk with God. Some are standing in the slime of depression and discouragement. You feel like you can't go on anymore. Others are standing in quicksand, the quicksand of moral compromise, and you find yourself sinking inch by inch each and every day, and your life is literally in danger. Some of you are standing on the slippery steps, the icy steps of spiritual coldness and complacency, and you're about to fall as far away from God as you've ever been. You're standing in a dangerous place. Then others today would say, you know, as far as I can tell, praise God, as far as I can tell, I'm standing as strong as I can. Standing for God every day. I want you to look with me in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. I want you to see what the Apostle Paul has to say to us this morning about standing in Christ. Paul says, finally, my brethren, Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. I want you to look at that first word in our text this morning. Paul says, finally. Finally. And unlike some preachers nowadays, you know, when Paul said finally, he was wrapping up what he was trying to say. He didn't go on and on and on. And I hope I don't do that today. But he says, finally, my brethren. He's showing us that he's coming to the end of this letter. But that word in the original language means from now on. And so what Paul was saying that day was not just, hey, I'm finishing up this letter, I'm about to wrap this up. But he was saying to us, hey, from now on, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I want to talk to you about what the Bible says it means to stand. As we look at this passage, we'll see that God's Word talks about standing in supernatural strength. It talks about standing against spiritual struggles. And then the last thing that I want you to notice is it talks about standing with a single-minded stamina. Three principles that I want to share with you today found from Ephesians chapter 6. First of all, the Bible says that if we're going to stand, that we've got to stand in supernatural strength. Notice that command there in verse 10 of our text. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, that's a very simple command, isn't it? It's simple in the English language, and it's simple in the Greek language as well. But if you look at the language that Paul used when he wrote this letter, it carries a much stronger emphasis. It carries with it several different dimensions that we don't see in our English language. He said to be strong in the Lord. To be strong in the Lord in the original language, it's a plural command that Paul was giving. A plural command. He was saying, every one of you, be strong. He wasn't just talking to pastors, to the leaders of that day. He was talking to everyone. He said, Peggy, Richard, Billy, I'm talking to you. Wayne, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to all of you. Not just a select group, not just a small group, but I'm talking to every one of you. I want every one of you to be strong in the Lord. And this morning, He's telling each and every one of us, everyone in this church, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It's a plural command, but it's also in the present tense. And so literally, it means that everyone is to keep on being strong. It's something that continues every day. Listen, it's not good enough to say, well, I was strong 5 years ago. Or I was strong last week at work when I was going through all that stuff that was taking place. Every day we must come before God and we must pray, God, make me strong. It's plural. It's in the present tense. And the other thing that I want you to see about this command is that it's a passive command. It's a passive command. In other words, he was not telling them to do something in as much as he was telling them to receive something. He was telling them to make themselves strong. Hey, this isn't something you can do on your own. He wasn't telling them that. He was telling them to receive the strength of the Lord. How can I be strong? How can you be strong? In the power of His might. His strength is not something that we just work up on our own. This strength is something that God sends down to us as His children. It is a supernatural strength that only God can give. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. this morning, if you could have one superpower, what would it be? Got a lot of kids in here. I see their minds are already turning, thinking about their superhero. What kind of super strength would you like to have, superpower? Well, USA Today surveyed Americans all over this country, and they asked them this question. If you could have one superpower, what would it be? And I want to share with you their responses. This is what American people, people just like you and just like me, said. 28% they'd like to have the ability to read minds. That'd be handy sometimes, wouldn't it? Sometimes we think we know what people are thinking, but they can get us in trouble. 15% they'd like to have the ability to fly. 11% the ability to be invisible. 9% the ability to have super strength. And then 1% said, I would like to have the ability to walk through walls. Nothing stopped. They just walk through everything. What would you do if you had a super strength? What type of super strength would you want? What would you use it for? Would you use it for those things that were brought about in this study, in this survey? The Bible says that you need supernatural strength, that I need supernatural strength the most so that we can stand up against the wiles of the devil. Some of your translations say the schemes of the devil. It's a word there that the original word is method. It means methods. You see, Satan has methods that he uses to fight against you every day. And he is very methodical in his methods. And he will do everything that he can do to crush you and to ruin your life. He'll try to make good appear to be, or bad appear to be good. He'll take something that's evil and try to make it appear good and pleasant. He'll try to make something that's painful appear to be pleasant. He'll try to make something that is hurtful and make it appear to be helpful. He'll try to make something that's immoral appear to be moral. That's how he works. That's how Satan works. He'll turn everything around in your life because he desires to defeat you. And you must stand in God's supernatural strength if you want to be able to stand up against the devil. You say this morning, well, how can I stand up against the devil? I mean, how can I do this? How can I do it? Well, look with me in your text. Verse 11 says to put on the whole armor of God. That's the source of our strength. The source of our strength is not our own strength, but it's God's armor, God's whole armor. Beginning in verse 14 of Ephesians 6, you'll see what that armor is made up of. It includes the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, shoes of the gospel, the shield of faith, which is the word of God, the helmet of salvation, or the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then it talks about the power of prayer. All those pieces come together to make up the armor of God. The full armor. The full armor means that we have every offensive and defensive weapon that we need to fight against the devil. And God will empower you. When you put on this armor, He will empower you and He will give you that supernatural strength through the spiritual armor to stand up against every single thing that Satan brings your way. God will do that. I read some time ago that in ancient armies, when the soldiers would report to duty, every morning they would have on their full armor. And they would walk and stand in front of a centurion. And that centurion would take his fist and he would strike the breastplate. And that metal breastplate would ring and make a loud noise. And if it was the noise that centurion was looking for, he knew that everything was in place. And so as he, with his fist, hit that breastplate, that ring would ring out. And if it was correct, he would say, Integritas. Integritas, meaning everything is in place and you are ready for battle. He would look them in the eyes and see if they had that readiness to go out into battle. And he would make sure that they had everything in place. And again, when everything was in place, he would say, Integritas, you're ready for battle. Every morning that you wake up, every morning God inspects your heart. He looks at your heart every day and he wants to see if you're walking and standing with him in spiritual integrity. Do you have on the armor of God? Are you standing in God's supernatural strength? Are you standing on your own strength? The Bible says that we must stand in supernatural strength. And then there's a second principle for standing in Christ that I want you to see with me this morning. And that is, number two, the Bible says that we must stand against spiritual struggles. Look in verse 12 of our text. The Bible says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Why do you need this full armor? Why do you need to put it on every day? Why do you need it to be able to stand up in God's power? We do not wrestle, Paul said, against flesh and blood. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. Can I just confess something to you this morning? I want to share something with you that is kind of embarrassing. I mean, it can be, but since it illustrates a spiritual truth, I'm just going to tell you. And I shared it in the first service, so I didn't want to leave you out. When I was a kid, growing up, every Saturday, there's a few things that I watched on TV. Every Saturday, Blake. Cartoons. Then after cartoons, what came on? American Bandstand. And then after American Bandstand was Jim Crockett Promotions. How many of you know what I'm about to talk about? Wrestling. We didn't call it wrestling. We called it what? Wrestling. And I'd watch that every Saturday with my Grandpa Schaefer. And it was great. Man, I can remember he'd get so mad at that Russian wrestler because every time he got in the ring, he'd take the microphone, he'd sing the Russian national anthem, and he'd just about turn off the TV and say, I can't believe they're letting that man sing his national anthem on U.S. soil. And I didn't want to tell him, but I knew he wasn't a Russian. He was from New York. But hey, you know what I mean? He was a wrestler. And every Saturday, man, we'd watch the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. We'd watch Andre the Giant, Hulk Hogan, Roddy Ronnie Piper, Nature Boy Ric Flair. And then one of my favorites, Superfly Jimmy Snuka. Y'all remember Superfly? Yeah, don't look at me like I'm crazy. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, don't you, Mike? Raising his hand, big wrestling fan right there. But Superfly, man, he'd climb up on the top rope and he'd come fly. That's why they call him Superfly. He'd fly across that ring and come crashing down on his opponent's neck. Like, man, he just killed the guy. Then he'd grab his legs and he'd pin him and one, two, three. He'd win. As a kid, we'd watch that. I'd watch that. Then my sister, Bridget, sitting right over there, don't look that way though. We'd go back to my bedroom and we'd act out some of the things that we had seen. And I can remember one day while we were wrestling, I was Superfly Jimmy Snuka. I got up on the chest drawer in the bedroom. Door was closed, of course. She's on the bed at the foot of the bed, stomach over the post there. I'm on the chest drawer. I come flying through the air, crashing down on the bed, and the bed goes straight to the floor. Wow, man, my dad comes running in there. What's going on in here? What's going on? Well, bed's on the floor. I don't know what happened, Dad. We were just sitting down. And well, I tell you, that day, that was the last day we wrestled in the bedroom on the bed. They put it in. But every child, every boy, practically every boy growing up had a favorite wrestler. I can remember being in the schoolyard. And people would talk about how their favorite wrestler was going to beat up on their friend's favorite wrestler the next time that they fought. And then came that great debate. Among all that discussion of who was going to win the next time, there was that debate, and it waged across schoolyards and classrooms and cafeterias all over the country. The same question was asked every time. And some would say yes, others no, others I don't know. Yeah, it probably isn't, but the question was, is it real? And I'm not going to answer that question today. I don't want to burst anybody's bubble. But is it real? I mean, are they really taking those chairs? And are they really slapping each other over the head with them? Is it real? You know, it might be a tragedy to look at something that's fake and call it real. It could be. It could be foolish. It would be foolish to think that a fake fight is a real fight. But let me tell you this morning, let me say that it's dangerous when you think that a real fight is not a real fight. My friend, we're in a battle. We're in a fight. And notice who the opponent is. The opponent is no one other than the devil himself. We do not fight against flesh and blood. The Bible says that we wrestle in a spiritual battle. And there's a spiritual struggle that's taking place. Verse 12 tells us that there are demonic powers that are fighting against us as children of God. Now, the Word of God uses several words to describe these powers. It talks about principalities. It talks about powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. And although God's Word does not clarify what all those different phrases and words mean, you can rest assured that Satan has organized his demons. He's got a game plan. He has methods for fighting against you, and he is waging war with all hell's army against you every day. He's fighting against your marriage. He's fighting against your family, against your emotions, against your mind, and against this church every day. Every day. And you look at that and you say, well, how in the world can I stay in this fight? How can I win this fight? I mean, I'm just little old me. What can I do? Nothing. By yourself. But when you put on God's armor, when you tap into that supernatural strength, God will empower you with everything you need to defeat Satan and defend off his attacks in your life. As a believer in Christ, all hell is fighting against you and your marriage. We're in a battle. Listen, we're not on a playground. We're on a battleground. And this battle's got to be fought with spiritual weapons. The only hope that we have is the strength that is inside of us. And we've got to remind ourselves every day that greater is he that is in us than he who's in the world. I want to show you one other principle before we're done. Yes, we're to stand in supernatural strength. We're to stand against spiritual struggles. And then finally, I want you to see that we're to stand in single-minded stamina. Stand with single-minded stamina. In other words, we're to make it our desire every day to commit to the Lord that we're going to stand for him. That we're going to please him in every area of our life. Look with me here in verse 13 of our text. Paul says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. There's coming a day in every one of our lives when the attacks of Satan are going to come crashing down on us like never before. There are going to come days in our life where it's going to seem like everything is falling apart. You're going to be tempted. You're going to be tired. You're going to be heartbroken. You're going to be tempted to go back to your old way of living. All that's going to take place at once. And the Bible says that what God wants you to do when that day comes, He wants you to stand in His supernatural strength. He provides us everything that we need to be able to engage in this battle. Not just to engage in it, but to win it. And after that day is over, the Bible says, and after we have done all, to sit down. Is that what it says? And after you've done all, sit down. No. And after you've done all, just lean over and take a rest. Is that what it says? No. It says this. Now having done all, to what? Stand. I'm going to keep on standing. Some of you here today, God is speaking to your hearts, and He's saying, you know what? You are going through a lot. And there's a lot on your plate, but keep on standing. You say, well, I stood yesterday. Keep standing today. I stood through that thing that happened to me a year ago. Keep on standing today. It's just as simple as coming before God every morning and saying, Lord, today I give my strength to You, and I ask for Your supernatural strength to empower me and help me to keep on standing. They say that when you run in a marathon, that the hardest part of the marathon is when you get to the final 3 miles. Now, I'll just have to take it for their word, but that's what they say. And it's when you get to that last few miles, it's like you hit a brick wall. And your legs feel like jello, and you just feel like you can't go on anymore. But then you look back and you realize how far you've come. And you say to yourself, you know what? I've only got 3 more miles to go, and you finish the race. And it doesn't matter what place you come in. It doesn't matter if you're in last place. As long as you finish the race, as long as you stay in there, you're happy and you're excited. That's single-minded stamina. Some of you today need to say, Lord, I want to stand for You. Where are You standing today? Where are You standing in your walk with the Lord Jesus? Let's pray together. Lord, I thank You for every person that's here today. For every person who makes up this amazing church. Lord, I thank You that You have called us to stand strong in You. Lord, You have placed us on a battlefield. God, there's a real war out there. A real battle. And it can only be fought. It can only be won through You. Oh God, when we make it our desire to live for You, to stand strong for You, Satan will come with everything that he has to try to defeat us, to bring us down, to tear us apart. Father, we thank You that even in the midst of these attacks, even through Satan's attacks, Lord, that we can stand and stand strong because of You. Father, in every area of our lives, help us to stand strong for You. Lord, I pray this morning for that person who's gone through so much. They just feel like giving up, throwing in the towel. Lord, encourage them today. Father, empower them, having done all, to stand with You. To stand in victory through Your supernatural strength. We pray this in Your precious name. Amen.